welcome to another episode of the Just M segment of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. It's called that because it's just me sitting in my closet with my Bible open and some thoughts for you about the passage we're reading. So we've been going through John because John's a really great place to start. If you're new to the Bible, you don't even know if you believe that any of this is actually true. That's so good. Welcome. We're glad you're here. God is not afraid of your unbelief, by the way. He just wants you to talk to him about it. So we have seen Jesus do all kinds of interesting things in John so far. And if you're interested in knowing more about those things, then head back to all the previous Just M's because we're just going in order. So today we are at John 3, 16 through 21. Now you may have heard of John 3, 16. Probably everybody has heard of John 3, 16. Maybe you don't even know what it is, but you do know that's a thing. I've heard of it. And I got to say, and I'm always trying to be really honest with these, that sometimes when we approach the Bible, we come with our own feelings or expectations of how it's going to be. And when I got to this part about John 3:16, having grown up in the church, I'm like, okay, I get it. What in the heck am I going to be able to say that is even remotely interesting? Because we all know John 3:16, right? It feels, not to say that any part of the Bible can be overused, but this one is used a lot. So I think it's important to know what kind of thoughts do we come at passages with so that we can just be aware of them. Because as usual, God really did something in my heart with this passage that I thought could not possibly be more overused. So let's go ahead and read it. It's John 3, 16 through 21. And I'm in the ESV version. I really would love it if you would actually get a Bible out and have a look at it. Just like from a learning standpoint, it's going to sink in more if you are hearing it and seeing it. So here we go. Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light comes into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Okay, so that's what we're reading today. And now let's talk about it. It's interesting to me. We talked last time about Nicodemus and how Nicodemus came at night and he was kind of brave because the other leaders of the church didn't come. But he did. But if you remember, he came in the middle of the night when it was dark, so people didn't know. And that's kind of exactly what he's talking about here, that if we love darkness, we love doing things where nobody knows about, we love those secret places, we can't hold on to those secret places and also love God. And we know that, obviously, on some level, we all know that we shouldn't lead double lives, right? And it's heavy and it's like sucks the life out of you when you try to do it. We know that we shouldn't. But that doesn't mean we don't, right? So let's just start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. For those of us who have kids, most of us who listen to the show do, but not everybody. The idea of giving up my son, are you kidding me right now? No, thank you. Even when he's like such a little turd, love him, don't want to give him to anybody. But as I kind of prayed through this and sat with God about this passage, the words that kept popping out at me more than the others were so loved. And I just felt him telling me, you are so loved. Tell these women they are so loved. I think that's great. I don't think we can hear that too much, especially in the trenches of trying to help our little kids grow up to be contributing members of society, hopefully people of integrity. And then they just come at us sideways because they want to be in charge of their own little kingdoms. And we're just trying to do things for their best. So it's just good to know that even when it feels like we're doing such a bad job, we are so loved. So let's look at verse 17. It says, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him. It's like parenting. When we correct and we discipline our kids, they think we're against them, but really we're for them, or we wouldn't be bothered to discipline them. I think they don't realize that it is a pain in the butt to discipline them. It's so much easier just to let them do whatever the heck they want to do because it gives us a moment of peace. So I think sometimes we think that God is against us as well, but we don't realize he is bothering to engage with our silly selves in this silly world because he loves us. He's not against us. He's for us. Okay, so let's talk about verse 19. This is the judgment. None of us like that. We could just replace that part with Real talk. So real talk, the light has come into the world, but people love darkness better. That's really heartbreaking. He did all that. He bothered to become a man, be born in a stinking barn. And we said, yeah, I get it. I don't care. Like, we all did that at some point. I feel like that helps me have compassion on my kids when I think, why don't you care? Like, what about the right thing is offensive to you? Do the right thing because it's the right thing. But deep in our hearts, we love darkness more than we love light. I love eating all the guacamole more than I love running. And guacamole is not darkness. But all the guacamole, too many times, is darkness, honestly. Okay, so first 20 and 21. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come into the light, or his works would be exposed. But whoever does what's true comes to the light so that they may be clearly seen that the works have been carried out in God. I mean, we get that. If I was going to rob a house, I would do it at night. I would rather die than rob a house. How nerve-wracking would that be? But you understand, we like to do things in the dark when we're up to no good. It's like with our kids. When they're doing something sweet, they make sure that the parents can hear it. But then when they want to strangle one another, they do it behind the couch. It's pretty basic humanity 101 stuff. So let's think about how we can apply this to our life. How can we struggle well with these pretty basic ideas of when we're up to no good, we hide it. When we're doing great things, we want everyone to know. When the light came into the world, we rejected it. Even if we walk with the Lord, on some level, we're rejecting what he wants for us in favor of what we want instead. How can we struggle well in the face of discipline from God seeming to us like he's against us when he's really not? So the first thing I thought of is just the very basic question, what are you in the darkness about? What would you rather not tell your friends? A way that we have started our community group meetings, each Saturday morning, I meet with my girls in my community group, like obscenely early in the morning at a Starbucks. And a good way to start the meeting, we don't do it every time, but is what do you not want to talk about right now? What do you really hope doesn't come up? That is a great thing to bring into the light. And it's not like I'm addicted to cocaine. You don't have to be breaking the law or growing pot in your basement to be in the darkness. Honestly, sometimes the darkness for me is I talk about guacamole like in a joking way, but y'all, I eat too much guacamole and this is not a joke. Like anything where we think I'm going to get comfort from this thing instead of from God, darkness. It could be overspending on money. It could be pretending you're asleep so that you don't have to be intimate with your husband. It could be so many things. Your phone, you spend way too much time on your phone and you won't read that book to your kid who keeps asking. All kinds of things. And we don't have to be afraid of it. And we certainly don't need to be under shame about it, but we do need to bring it into the light. So the thing you don't want to talk about, bring it into the light. I remember when I first became a mom, I was so angry. Anger has always been my go-to thing. I remember where I was standing the first time that I told somebody, one of my girlfriends, that I had a problem with anger. I felt like I was confessing some gigantic crime. It was so embarrassing to me and so shameful. And now I'm telling all you people, and I don't even bat an eyelash, but can I tell you that struggling with anger is so, so far down the list now? But it's because I talk about it and I'm working through it and I'm not in the darkness about it anymore. So if you really want a sin struggle to be behind you, I'm telling you, talk about it. Bring it into the light. The enemy's not there. It loses its power and you get help. You're freed. Other people are freed. It's amazing. It's beautiful. So if you're in the darkness, I really challenge you this week to come out, come into the light about it. Because why? Because you are so loved. The same words that the Lord just kept telling me, tell them they are so loved. For God so loved you. And not just the general community you, like the collective us, but you, specifically you. So you know when your kids are freaking out and they're acting like little alien monsters and it's usually in public or when you're trying to be impressive, they know. I'm convinced that they know. And if you can go towards them and like scoop them up or hug them or whatever, you feel them kind of melt. You know, you feel them go, okay, fine. I'm being ridiculous. And just kind of, they kind of stop and they soften. I feel like that's what John 3:16 does to me now as I read it again with new eyes. You are so loved, for God so loved you. And you can just go, okay, I can bring that thing into the light. I can stop living in the darkness in this area. I am so loved. The best part of this, ladies, is that We are not so loved because our house is clean, or so loved because everyone happily ate the dinner that we made, or so loved because our weight is exactly right, or so loved because the number on the scale in our bathroom is exactly what we want it to be. We are so loved just because we are. It's just like our state of being is so loved. I wanted to encourage you to use the resource of the Revelation Wellness podcast. I talk about Elisa all the time. She's such a dear friend to me, but I also am such a strong supporter of what she does with her weekly podcast, The Revving the Word. I actually go running and listen to those. I am not a runner. I do not like running, but I will run when Elisa tells me to run. But then she also has the Be Still and Be Loved podcast, where it's like meditation and you're just supposed to be stinking still, which to me is even harder than running. Oh my gosh. So since we are focusing on how we are so loved this week, I would really encourage you as a strategy to struggle well to search for the Revelation Wellness podcast. And when you find those podcast episodes, find a Be Still and Be Loved and do it. It may feel like you're not doing anything, like almost like it's just a useless waste of time. And I'm telling you, that is the enemy who does not want you to get still and understand that you're loved in a deep, deep way. Elisa always says things like that are actually a violent stand against the kingdom of darkness. And if I get to be violent while I'm just laying down listening to something, it's my favorite way to be violent if it doesn't take a lot of effort on my part. So anyway, do that. Be Still and Be Loved, Revelation Wellness Podcast. All right, ladies, next week, or I'm going to try to do these weekly. I'm telling you what, spring break is next week, so who even knows what will happen. But next week, we will be doing John 3, 22 through 36. I want to tell you real quick, though, my Wellness Revelation group, my group number 2, is starting this week. I'm so excited. If you did not get a chance to get in that group, and I'm getting emails from several of you, I'm going to open registration for the next group on May 1st. If you want to make sure you don't miss that, go ahead to momstrugglingwell.com, and on the front page of my website, you can join the newsletter, and then you will get weekly newsletters, just stuff I'm loving, what I'm listening to, resources I think you need to know about, but I'll also tell you when the next Wellness Revelation group opens up so you don't miss out on that. Don't forget to subscribe to these podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps the show rank higher so more people see it, so more moms can be encouraged. That's like ultimately the goal here. I mean, God's going to do whatever he's going to do with the show. I hold it loosely. It's not really my business what he does about it. But with very little effort, you can make the show more visible to people by subscribing, by sharing it, by leaving reviews. Also, Amazon just made a new way for you to use the show's affiliate link that makes it super easy. Okay, so this is going to be a new way, but it's easier. Just go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. You can make that like a page on your bookmarks, and you don't have to go to my website anymore. So that's amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. And everything I recommend is going to be on that homepage. So if you hear about something on the show, you can find it there. And it really does help me pay the people I need to pay and pay for all the things that I need to have in order to make the show for you. So that's all I got. Thank you guys for listening. I'm so glad you're here. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, feeling loved is not always easy. Seems like it should be. Thank you that you have grace with us when we forget and we start getting all nervous and start some of us working really hard to try to earn your love, or some of us just, I mean, I don't know, that's all I usually do. So I don't really know what other people do, but God, would you help us just kind of take a big exhale and realize we already are so loved. I pray that you would impress upon them where they are in darkness. What are they holding on to because they think that you are not going to be good enough or sufficient enough or big enough to take care of that for them? Lord, in those places of fear, I pray that they would just surrender to you anyhow, because God, I know that you are going to show yourself better than they even imagined. Lord, would they come out from under shame? There's no condemnation for us anymore. God, would they find a person who they trust and bring these sin struggles into the light? Lord, in our parenting, would you help us remember that we are so loved? You are for us and you are proud of us. It's really important for us to know that as your daughters, because my goodness, this job is such a blessed beating sometimes. I pray also, Lord, that this would trickle down to our kiddos, that when they are acting like little alien monsters, would you please help us remember we are so loved, and therefore we can just let our kids know they are so loved. Loved by you, loved by us. God, help us get through this week of spring, no break, because that's what it is. It really bothers me that the word break is in there, because it ain't no break. But Lord, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I pray that you would help that be true for us as we look to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.